Senator Mark Schessler, who has been down in Olympia for a long time and has seen many revenue forecasts, joins us to tell us how strong, how weak, how tenuous is Washington State's revenue picture now compared with how much money is in the state budget versus how much they want to spend in the next budget cycle. Hello, Senator. How are you?
Well, great to be with you, John, but the bad news is I won't be taking you to Ruth's Chris for dinner.
Yes, I know. If we had had a terrible revenue forecast, yes, everyone would have gotten a tax increase, but I would have gotten a free steak dinner at Ruth's Chris. So, it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
The good news for the taxpayers, John, is this is a record March revenue forecast for growth. When you sum total everything you talked about, and we look at four-year balanced budgets, which were something that the majority coalition caucus led on, we have $5.2 billion over 4 years. That is unprecedented for March, and you described it very, very well. The need for new and higher taxes simply goes away. But wait, there's still more. Our schools, cities, counties will be receiving somewhere near $5 billion. We can round it up or down. The state will also receive $4.2, maybe up to $5 billion of fairly flexible spending to take care of state needs. So if you add the two together, we have about $10 billion over the next 4 years available. That is unprecedented and certainly should take away any need for new or higher taxes.
Okay, so to review these numbers, because it's unbelievable, given what our economy has gone through, that we would actually be this flush with dough. But we have $5.2 billion more to spend over the next 4 years.
Correct.
And the federal government, this is part of that $1.9 trillion, will get $5 billion more for schools?
We'll get close to $5 billion in fairly flexible money for us to invest. But our schools, local governments, will have about $5 billion earmarked for specific things that Congress decided were critical. So they get $5 billion for local schools, local governments, and we get somewhere between $4 or $5 billion more to spend fairly freely. Combined with the new revenue, we get to about $10 billion over the next 4 years. I can still remember when the budget was $15 billion for a biennium. This is unprecedented, incredible growth. It needs to be spent wisely, perhaps even saved a little. But the need for new and higher taxes evaporated this morning at 8 a.m.
So no wonder the response from the governor's office has been not cheering, but kind of muted.
Well, of course, he goes to the Rahm Emanuel School of Politics and never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, the crisis certainly is not real, and these are real numbers. The State Revenue Forecast Council are very independent. Sometimes they tell us what we don't want to hear, and they've been pretty good at what they do.
Okay. So we've got, you say, $5.2 billion more in state revenue from the economy.
Correct.
Over the next 4 years. And then you say $5 billion coming in from the feds for schools and another $4 to $5 billion coming in for state government, other expenses. Doesn't that put us closer to $15 billion than $10 billion, Senator?
Well, we don't manage the budgets of the cities and counties or some of the special money to local schools, but some of their requests for money certainly aren't as critical as they were yesterday.
Sure.
Take an example. had dinner with a good friend last night. Moses Lake, not the largest school district in the state by any means, they're going to receive over $14 million in a modest-sized school district. Whoa. That certainly takes up a lot of expenses inflicted by COVID, and there will be absolutely no cuts to education with the budget that the majority inevitably writes.
So what will that money be used for?
Well, at the local level, they all are different. We have 295 school districts. Some need more computers. Some have unforeseen transportation costs, staffing. 295 districts come up with 295 different ways to spend it. But the bottom line is they're in really good shape now between a no-cuts budget in Olympia and a lot of money going back to local schools, that they should be in pretty darn good shape.
Okay. So, logically speaking, the Democrats, the air has just gone out of the Democrats' argument that COVID and revenue shortfalls have made it not just necessary, but inevitable we had to raise taxes. That case is just, as you pointed out, collapsed, that we've never seen surpluses this heavy in a March forecast.
That is a fact. That forecast made taxes evaporate at 8 a.m. this morning.
Okay. But the Democrats, of course, don't care about facts. They are focused on opportunities. So does this change the chemistry for tax increases? Let's start with capital gains. What's the current status of that bill, Mark Chesler?
It's currently in House Finance. It had a very active discussion. Everyone from Congressman Newhouse to the radical left testifying. It is alive there. It only was slated to bring in $500 million in the next biennium. Clearly, that's not necessary now.
But if they've got the votes, they're going to push it. So my point here is, does this forecast make it politically untenable for at least a few Democrats who are going to vote yes to say, I can't defend my vote now?
Well, I would like to think it would shape opinion. It's certainly not a crisis anymore.
In your experience, when the Democrats had lined up the votes to raise taxes and then, you know, some good economic news kind of deflated the case they could make that we need the money for human needs, for imperative essential services. Did the votes go away, or did they just lower their heads and vote it through anyway?
I think it's a mixed bag over the 3 decades I've been around Olympia, that sometimes it just evaporates. Sometimes, even in prosperous economies, it's full speed ahead.
Well, we'll see what happens here, because,
it's a great opportunity for the taxpayer in more ways than one. First, new taxes are not necessary. But if we wisely invest in one-time items of capital importance, we don't have a budget problem. For example, we know we lost money due to lost gasoline sales. Well, certainly we could plug some transportation holes. We could take care of fish passage barriers that people care about. We could work on forest health and fire prevention. These are all one-time expenses that don't have the Olympia bow wave that grows and grows, but are things that are important to Washington residents.
See, and I could see the Democrats repeating every word you just said as, that's why we need to pass capital gains tax on the rich.
And that excuse just evaporated, because this revenue forecast precludes any need for that, period.
All right. Mark Chesler, as always, it's great having you update and clarify what is going on in today's Olympia. We'll see if that happens. By the way, the wealth tax, the 2% tax on wealth, has that gone away yet?
It hasn't had much activity, but you have to remember revenue bills can be referenced in the budget
right.
and come to life at any moment, and the use of title-only bills. So when the budget comes out, somebody has to read it thoroughly and see if the wealth tax, capital gains tax, and others are referenced in the House or Senate budget. And then, of course, those pesky title-only bills that appear at the end of session.
Right. They should not allow title-only bills. It's a complete abuse of the system.
It's a dinosaur that needs to go away.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have this. By this date, bills have to be out of both chambers. By this date, they have to be. And it just makes a mockery of it all when you can have a last-minute title-only bill, you know, floated on the 103rd day of the session, of a 105-day session. Anyway, Mark Chesler, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Great to be with you, John.